Great to have your company. Dwayne Russell out of action. Sam Edmund with you. The pipe not here, but the Lions very much are. It remains your show on Dwayne's World. 1-300-736-736. All happening thanks to Red Energy, 100% Australian-owned energy retailer, of course. And we are continuing to build SEN's greatest all-Australian team of the AFL era. Yesterday, the goal record holder, Tony Lockett and Gary Ablett Sr. were voted in full forward and the other forward pocket, respectively. Ablett Sr. pipping Jason Dunstall by just 18 votes in the end. So the full forward line reads Betts, Lockett, Ablett Sr. Not too shabby. Today you can vote on the centre-half forward. Head to sen.com.au to cast your vote. The nominees are Wayne Carey, Lance Franklin, Nick Riewoldt, Matthew Richardson, Matthew Pavlich, Jonathan Brown, Stephen Kernahan, Barry Hall, Warren Treadray, Stuart Lowe, and this man, our next guest, who just happens to be the Western Bulldogs Director of Football, Chris Grant. Always great to talk to you, Granny.
G'day, Sam. How are you? Just a fair list. pretty pleased. I'm hanging on by my fingernails on that one.
No room for modesty. No room for modesty here, Granny. I said this to David Neitz yesterday. We dispense with that.
Yeah, I reckon Neitz and I, we might just go and have a beer together and wait for the team to be read out, because I reckon we're happy to be part of the list, but we might not make the list when you've got Wayne Carey and these types of players involved, mate.
Well, like Nita, the Melbourne captain, you played down back as well. You played centre-half back. So a lot of those names I just read out there, centre-half forwards and full forwards, you would have spent a bit of time on.
Yeah, we're pretty similar, actually, Neitzy and I. We both sort of changed roles right throughout our careers, really. We probably had fair portions of, being either at centre-half or at centre-half back for maybe a year or two at each period. But we did sort of flop between the two. And I always sort of felt that, from my own personal perspective, it was quite helpful to be able to play those roles. Not necessarily when the team was either going well or bad. It was just, sometimes with your own form, if you had the ability to change positions, it was quite helpful. Neitzy and I, sort of out of that list, Neitzy and I, we did spend a fair bit of our time at centre-half back.
Yeah, well, the poll as it stands, I'm not really surprising, I've got to say, Granny. Wayne Carey, 56% of the vote. Lance Franklin, a distant second, 13%. But it's early days. I'm backing in to come with a rush later on today. you're a glass half full person, Chris. You're always positive. Now, take us inside the Witten Oval, because it must have been hard to deal with, like the other clubs across the competition, with the realisation that you have to make some pretty drastic cuts to the personnel that make up your football department. And we heard Luke Beveridge last night, the coach, saying he'd been heartbroken and it's been soul-destroying what has had to take place. I mean, take us inside the Witten Oval. How difficult has it been?
Yeah, I think Bevo sort of encapsulated how we're all been feeling, really. There's the reality of having to sort of run a business in a financial and an operational sense. But then there's the people side of it that is always the most difficult to deal with as a manager. And no doubt the 18 clubs and the competition as far as AFL House have been through an incredibly difficult period and still really going through it. Whilst we're returning to training and we've got games on the horizon now, starting on the 11th of June, which is incredibly positive. We've also got a lot of our comrades who haven't been able to rejoin us, who have already been told by their clubs that they won't be able to return permanently. So it is an incredibly difficult period for everybody. And I must admit, yesterday was a the sort of a 50-50 feel of the positivity of being able to get back to see each other in person, which we haven't been able to do for the best part of 6 or 7 weeks now. And then know that we've actually got a lot of our people who are still remaining on stand down or at home. So it was difficult, but we do hope, obviously, that over the coming weeks and months, that we sort of settle into a normal rhythm again, and we get on with it. Hoping that we, in regards to probably 2021, we can hold on to as many as we can.
So how have you restructured the football department, Chris? I mean, can you educate us in this space at this point? How many of your line coaches, or have any, not made the cut, for lack of a better word, of the 25?
Well, specifically in the coaching department, we had 9 full-time coaches going into the 2020 season. and we've now sort of pulled that back to only six of the nine are coming back on reduced hours. So we've got three of our boys who are remaining on stand down, which is incredibly hard for them. We haven't, I know some clubs where they've been absolutely certain about what they'll do permanently moving forward have made some decisions already on behalf of their coach instruction, the personnel. We haven't moved to that point yet until we're absolutely clear with all the information that we've got about what we can and can't do moving forward. And I'm talking more 2021 here about what that will look like. So we'll probably make those decisions over the next month or two as we move towards the end of the season. But that's just one department too. If you sort of extrapolate that across all the departments within the footy departments across 18 clubs, there's a lot of people who are not going to be able to rejoin the competition again, which is incredibly sad.
Yeah, and what have you prioritised at the moment, Chris? What have the club deemed to be most important at the moment in that football department of 25? We know the AFL's mandated certain roles that have to be filled, but when it's up to you, what have you prioritised in the short term?
I think we'd be pretty similar to most other clubs. You've got two stages, really. The first stage of your planning that we've gone through, and I know that most other clubs have done the same, is that really we're in season. It's the in season period. I know we've got a 3-week odd sort of mini pre-season and then games start, but really we're treating it as if we're in season. So the majority of our short-term decisions for this year have been based around the in-season needs. Making sure, of course, also that we've got enough operational support to support those. What we've got 45 players and the staff that are going to be involved with the performance of the team. So it is probably the initial priorities is around the performance of the team, with the idea that the second stage will be the long-term planning and what we need to operate long-term. But I think most clubs have sort of had to gather their what is a list of 25 maximum available around the playing group, and that focus is really on performance, really as much as we possibly can. The priorities: coaching, medical, high performance. They're the ones that we've really had to focus on, and of course welfare with psychology and doctors and the welfare manager as well.
Yeah. No, I was just going to ask you one more on the football department, and a question off the speckle text here. Can you please ask Chris if the recruiting departments are included in the football department cap of 25?
Yeah. Well, they're not included in the 25. The cap of 25, which includes a compliance officer, that's available as a limit within the training venue, and obviously it operated games as well. There's an additional sort of range of personnel who are able to join us just on game day only. And as an example, four trainers, maximum of four trainers when we go into game mode. So there'll be another handful of staff that can join that 25 on game day only, but won't be able to access the training venue itself. So, the list and recruiting team are in a real holding pattern at the moment because the majority of the talent ID is on stand down at the moment. The only thing that we know for certain that's going to be in operation is AFL games. So there'll be a limited list and recruiting team available to do some pro scouting around that. But that'll be all working from home and they won't be able to access the venue itself.
Yeah. But, gee, I'll tell you what, yesterday that must have been good to see some staff and players face-to-face. What did training look like yesterday? Was it more educational or did the boys get out there for a good, a solid session? What did it look like?
It wasn't a traditional sort of full group session because we're not in that stage yet. This week's all in small groups and we won't be able to start the contact and main sessions until next week. So yesterday was more in small groups of eight, which includes players and a coach being able to facilitate a skill session. We had some fitness testing and things like that as a return to day one. So that's what this week really looks like, and that'll go over for us anyway. You know, other clubs are slightly different schedules, but we're Monday, Wednesday, Friday as our training schedule at the moment, and then we'll move into full contact next week. But the first point you made there was just being able to see people in person. We've had so many conversations either over the phone or via video link. Being able to actually see people in person is absolutely tremendous. So it was a positive start, but as I say, it was tinged with, the understanding you've got some people at home on stand down and on JobKeeper. So, you know, you feel very guilty almost being at work when you know that's the case.
I know that this is far from the front of your mind at the moment, but a lot of talk around the premiership and what it would look like and whether it'll be one of the more memorable ones or whether we should even have one at all, according to the Dennis Committee yesterday. Do you subscribe to some of the talk that this will be one of the more memorable flags for whoever is lucky enough to win it at the end of the year?
Oh, no doubt, Sam. I know some may feel that it'll be odd, particularly if, you know, there's no crowds available to be able to enter the venues right through to end of October, you know, grand final day. It would be very odd in that sense. But I know operationally and from a management perspective how much time and effort everyone's going into to produce a game day opportunity for each of those 18 teams. So, you know, it'll feel different probably if that's the case. But I know the effort that, you know, the 18 clubs are putting into if they are able to actually snag a flag during this period, and obviously we hope we're that team, it is going to be absolutely one of the most memorable, that's for sure.
Well, Granny, what did you play? 341 games with Footscray and when they were changed to the Western Bulldogs as well, of course. You're now the director of football there. You spent a lot of time in this part of Melbourne. Footscray is our be good to your hood suburb today, and lots of recommendations coming in throughout the day. You got a local cafe or business recommendation? Anyone out Footscray way you want to pump up?
Good question.
One without notice.
It's a couple of great little locals that we go to, Common Galaxia and, you know, in Sydney. I know you're a local, Sam, so you know the area well.
We are neighbours.
Alpha Bakery and, you know, the Sourdough Cafe, and there's quite a few along there, you know, if you're going to Sydney, which is only, you know, 500 metres from Winton Oval, and then West 45, which is on the other side of sort of West Footscray. So, now we've got a good supply of good coffee in the area, mate.
Now, I got Jordan Lewis hooked on the cronuts from Sourdough Kitchen last week, actually, Granny, so I've converted him. But another one I really like in Footscray itself is the Cafe Rudimentary. I don't know if you've been there. The Shipping Container Cafe in Footscray itself is an absolute beauty if you haven't been there.
Yeah, well, I'll take up that recommendation. I haven't been there. Yeah, I've seen it, but I haven't been in there. So if I drop your name, we'll see how we go.
Don't do that, whatever you do. Chris Grant, pleasure to talk to you, as always. Champion player of the club and now, obviously, the Western Bulldogs football director. Best of luck with it all moving forward, Granny.
Good on you, Sam. Thanks, mate.
Always good to talk to Chris Grant, one of the absolute nice guys of the game. Plenty of feedback off the speckled text when it comes to the full forward line for the SEN greatest All-Australian team of the AFL era. Ablett, Lockett and Betts, it just doesn't look, feel or sound right. Is Eddie's role to carry their bags to and from the ground? He just doesn't belong at that level whatsoever. Very strong from Tomo. How the hell did Betts beat Milne? Obviously, Milne mustn't have been an option. Milne every day of the week by a mile, and I'm a Richmond supporter. Well, he was an option, Sean. He didn't get the majority of the vote, though. And another one off the speckled text, Milne so much better than Betts. For award-winning local customer service, switch to Red Energy, a 100% Australian energy retailer.